If you will, tonight turn to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians. While you're turning, Brother Dallas Lakes Jr. will be preaching Sunday morning, so come ready to hear some good preaching. Brother Dallas will be going back after the first part of the week, so we got him scheduled to preach Sunday morning, all right? Galatians chapter 6, we're going to start reading the verse number 7 and read through verse number 10. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The Lord would bless me with the touch of God that I need to do this. I want to preach to you tonight on a crazy farmer. A crazy farmer. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A crazy farmer. The first thing I want to do is open this little sermon with a question. Do you think there is any possibility of that not being true? That whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you think there is any possibility that that is not a true statement? If it were possible that a man could sow and then find out that what he sowed wasn't what he was going to reap, it would revolutionize life. But if it is true, which I feel like from the depths of my heart, that it is a true statement. If it is true, then more than half of the world is mad. Like a crazy farmer who plants one seed and expects a crop of something else. If you've seen a man go to his field with a sack full anything. And then when it came time for harvest, you'd see him pull up to that field with a corn picker, and you knew that the seed that he sowed was nothing in the world like corn, but the man sowed it anyway expecting to reap corn. You would elbow your neighbor and said, "That's a crazy farmer." We are reaping what our fathers sowed. Even this good church that we have was produced out of the heart of another generation. We cannot take credit for it. Most of the things that were done before we ever got here. We're merely reaping the good work of someone else, and we all know it. And when my ministry terminates and somebody else comes, he'll look at you and he'll have to realize that some of you that he is going to pastor will be the work that God done through me. As I look at some of you and realize that you're the work that Brother Pennington done before I got here. Or Brother Swofford, or Brother Pittman. We never get credit for everything. And a man is a fool who wants to take credit for that which he didn't do. We're reaping what our father sowed. Even from where I came from, none of us younger preachers that are now preaching and those younger than me that I ordained had anything to do with the first revival that ever hit Lawrence County or Greene County. It was somebody else who had the vision. Somebody else that sowed the seed. Somebody else that wet it with their tears and patiently endured, amen, until the harvest. They knew, and so do we, that we are reaping what our fathers sowed. But if it is true that we're reaping what our fathers sowed, and we're sowing, what shall our children reap? You see, nobody can be so self-centered as not to believe that we have come a far piece and drifted a far piece from what our people were when they first started this good old Pentecostal way.
That's right.
Amen. You may not help me just when I start, but I hope that you'll get on board before I get through. I remember, I'm old enough, I'm 60, I can go back a far piece now. I can remember the old preachers. I listen to them preach. They've stayed in my house. I can tell you about them. I don't understand everything about where it just really all started at. But I do know that it started, and it didn't get started in my generation. Amen. Pentecost fell in 1907. I wasn't entered into this world until 1942. There was somebody back in 1907 that felt the first vibration of the Holy Ghost power, yielded to it, baptized with the Holy Ghost in fire, realized the necessity of holy living, came out from among them, and began to sow seeds. Amen. Holiness outdates us. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Now, we have watched holiness drift. Turn a deaf ear to the Holy Ghost. We've watched this generation, which I'm a part of, sow seeds that we know are going to be so difficult for someone to reap. And I know, as sure as I'm standing here, that I won't reap the worst part of it. That the ones that's going to reap the havoc of a generation between where it starts and where it ends is going to be my children or my children's children. Amen. What are your children going to reap? Are you a crazy farmer that you're sowing one seed, and in the thickness of your brain think that because you're sowing that and wishing it would be something else, that it's going to be a crop of what you desire? No, my friends, you know better than that. If you think you can live the kind of life that's being lived today in holiness ranks and Pentecostal churches right here in this valley and across America, and not have to reap it, you're a crazy farmer. Amen. You see, we expect our children to do good, but we can't expect them to be anything else than to reap what we're sowing. Somebody out there say amen.
Amen.
Reap what we're sowing. We're either going to be the generation that sows the good seed, seed of holiness, seed of righteousness, seed of a good crop that we know will work, of prayer, fasting, Bible reading, faithfulness, clean living, right dressing, right talking. Amen. If we don't sow those kinds of seeds, we're going to bring forth a crop that will laugh our very generation out of church. Well, they'll look at us and say, that is not necessary. You see, we're either going to be the generation that builds character, or we're going to be the generation that wastes an inheritance. We're either going to build, or we're going to waste, one or the other. None of us can doubt that we inherited this. None of us. I don't care how long you've been saved. You cannot doubt the fact that somebody paid the price for you to be able to sit here tonight and enjoy this good spirit. Somebody say amen. Look back here at Sister Loretta. Somebody told me, said they enjoyed her testimony. But she had a dad that invested their time in the ministry to get to the place to where his children would have a chance to understand this. Yeah. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
And we must understand we have inherited, been given this precious seed, or we can choose our own seed. We will either hold up our inheritance and say, that's the seed I want to sow, just like the seed that they sown, because I've seen it produce character in them. That they didn't go along with the crowd just because the crowd was going. They had convictions. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Convictions. Go with character.
Yes. Right.
Standards go with convictions.
Right.
Convictions go with character.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You can go, I remember back in the, it must have been the 60s, when we went late 60s, when we went to Louisville, the first time I'd ever seen anyone wear anything like I saw there in that church. The women came to the choir in culottes, and I thought, oh, what is going on here? But since then, I've noticed that in some churches, women can come on the platform with backless dresses.
Yeah.
No sleeves.
Yeah.
Amen. And it really doesn't matter, because nobody is trying to build character. Nobody's trying to define convictions, and nobody cares about standards, because the seed that is sown was of their own choosing. Amen. Oh, it's awful easy in this generation that we live to feel like we're going to be the generation that escapes sin and the results of sin, but we won't. We won't escape it. Anytime that you give an inch, the devil will take a foot.
Yeah.
If you give him a foot, he'll take a yard. You give him a yard, he'll go for a rod. And just as much as you give him, he'll double it to try to take that much more from you.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Story was told of a man. He had a farm down in, that's what he called it, a farm down in Australia. He said some of the biggest farms there is in the world in Australia. I don't know. I've never been there. He said this one had about 3,000 acres of wheat. I couldn't imagine it. 3,000 acres of nothing but wheat. But he told about reaping it and then seeds back in the 20s and 30s getting scarce. And he said they knew they were scarce. Good seed was scarce. And the only thing they could find to buy to put out a crop was a mixed batch. And they all took the gamble and they sowed a mixed batch. And they found out that the next crop was a bumper crop of wheat. But the year after that, the weeds dominated. And he said, and now where there used to be wheat flourishing. They can't plant it for the weeds. They sowed them together, taking the chance that they would get some wheat. But they not only got their wheat, they got some dominating weeds. And I want to tell you, my friend, when you don't sow good seed, you may get a bumper crop the first year, but make up to the realization that you've got something in that batch that's going to dominate the rest of your life. Why be a crazy farmer? Why be a crazy farmer when you know the law of God says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Why be a crazy farmer when you know the law can't fail? And when you sow it, you're going to reap it. The Bible speaks about men sowing strife. The Bible speaks of men who sow discord. I wouldn't want a crop of either one, thank you. I can't see myself enjoying strife. I can't see myself enjoying discord. But yet the Bible accuses people of being so crazy that they'd grab a handful of discord and throw it in a good field.
Come on now.
Knowing that after a while, discord will dominate. Strife will dominate. I don't have to preach that too hard to the older saints of this church, for they understand exactly what strife and discord can do. It's not good. Somebody shout amen. So when we think that we will escape, be not deceived. God is not mocked. He can identify seeds. And He knows what the potential of each one is because God created them to begin with. And He said, the life is in that seed. Amen. Whatever that seed is, the life and the potential is already in it. You can't alter it. It is going to be what you sow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I remember Brother Houston getting those big, I think it was Brother Houston, maybe it was Brother Carpenter, getting those big old beef tomatoes, getting the seed, wanting the seed. They said, I want some of that seed. I want the seed. Give me some seed. Well, they knew what the potential was. They didn't ask for a tomato. They just wanted the seed. Because the seed would give them the end result. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Just give me the seed. Let me sow the seed. I believe the seed can give me what I want. I want a crop of those tomatoes. So I'm going to sow the seed. And they are those people who take and let the seed dry. They get the tomato and they get the seed out and let it dry and keep it till the next year. So they'll know that they got the seed of that. Let me tell you something, my friend. How many times do we have to reap a crop before we begin to watch what we sow? Why be a crazy farmer? When you spout off, don't be surprised you going down the road and somebody call you a choice name. You sowed the seed. Somebody say amen. You don't like this kind of preaching. I don't particularly like to preach it. But it's my job. My calling. Amen. And I've got to tell you, I've seen some things that I know are going to have to while be ripped out. That's why Jesus said when He came and they said to Him in the parable, they said, who sowed these other seeds? Where do these tares come from? And the Master said, an enemy has done this. He said, while you slept, an enemy came along and sowed it right among the good seed. Now they said, do you want us just to go out and pull them all up? He said, no. Leave it till the harvest. Because if you pull them up now, you're going to pull some good ones up with them. That's the danger of not sowing good seed. that when you get rooted up because of what you've sown, you're going to pull somebody with you. Chances are it'll be your children. Look at Esau and his sons. They've always been a pain. Esau had children. You know that, don't you? And today, Esau's kids wreak havoc, just like their daddy. He sowed it. They're still bringing crops of it. Look at Eli and his two sons. Eli, high priest, brought his sons up in church, introduced them into the priesthood, elevated them, and then he found out to his great demise that they were not good seed. They don't call them just the sons of Eli, they call them the sons of Belial. They were wicked. They were mean. They were vicious. They were not fit to be there. But Eli did nothing about it until God had to root them up. Do you understand, my friend, that when you look aside at what your children's doing, that's what Eli did. He just turned a blind eye to his kids. He wouldn't reprove them. He wouldn't tell them it was wrong. All he ever said to them that you can read is, I've heard a report, and the report's not good. He heard a report. He lived with them. You turn your kids loose. You let them go to the movie with your blessing. And then when they get old enough, then they don't need your blessing and you can't get them to come to church because they're so interested in the world. Who sowed the seed? I'll tell you, some crazy farmer. You put these little girls in a pair of breeches. You let them run around in breeches when they're little. You say, oh, they're cute, aren't they? But after a while, they'll not be little. After a while, they'll not need your permission. After a while, they'll take up their own lifestyle. And then you'll cry your eyes out when you can't understand why they don't like holiness. Let me tell you, some crazy farmer sowed some seed in a field, and now he's going to reap what he has sown. You're not helping me preach, are you? Let a television raise them. Let a television educate them. They'll believe more in Superman than they do Jesus Christ. Right now, it'd break their heart. Some of them break their heart if you told them there wasn't a Santa Claus. How dare you? How dare you? To tell my child there isn't a Santa Claus. Well, there isn't. I'm sorry if that upsets you, but there really isn't. But then you wonder why they don't believe you when you tell them Jesus is the Son of God. You're the same person that told them Santa Claus lived at the North Pole and got in a sleigh and had flying reindeers, and one with a red nose, and he could slide down every chimney in every city and go into every town, every house, and get it done in 24 hours. And then you're going to tell them Jesus is the Son of God, and they're going to say,
yes, come on. Come on,
you lie to me on one hand, and you swear you're telling me the truth on the other hand. Don't sow mixed seeds. Don't be a crazy farmer. If it's wrong for you to dress a certain way, it's wrong for them to dress a certain way. Don't be a crazy farmer and sow seeds that you're going to have to reap. If God won't let you have a television, don't tell anybody else. It's just a personal conviction. If you can't go to the show, don't bless somebody else that does. Oh, you're not helping me preach. Why in the world would anyone want to be a crazy farmer? You see, Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 11 says, in the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, And in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. Listen to him. Listen to him. He said, you're going to make that plant grow.
Yeah.
You're going to take pains in the morning to make that seed flourish. You're not looking far enough down the road. There's some grief and desperate sorrow that's waiting for you when you reap that. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Listen, my friend. We've lost too many young people out of this church. Too many of our own children. I was praying the other day, weeping before God, and said, God, if we only had the kids that belong to this church, if we only had the young married couples that's gone out of this church, we'd have to build a brand new sanctuary because this one wouldn't hold it. But the reason that we lost them wasn't because the Spirit of God wasn't here. It wasn't because there wasn't good singing here. It wasn't because we didn't have a good place to go to church at. The reason we lost them is somehow they got a hold of some bad seed. Now we look and it's grief and desperate sorrow because we can't convince them to come back. Well, you're quiet. Can the sins of a nation damn it? The Bible says so. And it proves it with God's own people. Israel got to the place that they wouldn't hear the prophets. They got to the place where they wouldn't obey God. God turned them over to their enemies. And their enemies led them away into captivity till they began to want to listen to God. They began to want to sow righteousness. They wanted to sow it. They wanted to be right. They wanted a crop of righteousness. All of a sudden, they were tired of reaping what they had sowed. You see, my friend, can America abort millions of babies? And God sat on His throne with His hands folded and say, it don't matter to me what you do. It does matter to God. We will reap that. Amen? Can America glamorize liquor? Can America allow pornography and all of the lewdness that it shows on television and in movies? Nudity? Vulgar sex? Can America escape reaping those seeds that it's sowing? Will God have to bring Sodom and Gomorrah up out of the bottom of His judgment, dust them off and reestablish them and apologize, or will we reap our loose lewdness? Now nobody's saying amen. Don't it make you sort of afraid when you see the seed that's going into the field? Now in our schools, they can't put unless you're a Catholic school or a Catholic hospital, you can't even have a manger scene. Drive down right here at the corner of our little old town of Moraine. Look over and see if you see a nativity scene. Not allowed. Santa Claus can be there.
Yeah.
Jesus can't.
Right.
Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
And now we're watching it. When we begin to take the Ten Commandments and break them, he that breaks one is guilty of them all. When it said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and we begin to say, there's no God. There's no judgment. It's just a higher influence. There ain't no personal God up there. It's just an influence, just a power. There's no God up there. There's no judgment. And the humanist will tell you, look at the animals.
Yeah.
They don't wear clothes. They're not ashamed of their nakedness. Why should you be? they're doing is saying to God, bug out, bug off, and leave us alone. And the Bible says that He'll turn them over to a reprobate mind. He'll turn them over till they are eat up of their own lust. And we see America with gay parades, gay mayors, gay governors, gay senators, gay movement. And we don't realize that the Bible says, and God hates it. What's it matter? Throw that old seed out. What's it matter? Let's be a crazy farmer. Just see what comes up. I'll tell you what's going to come up. Judgment. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Help me preach. I'm not a great preacher, but help me preach. I've got a bunch of truth that I need to give you tonight. Let me read to you what it says in 1 Peter, if I can turn there. Sorry I'm not jumping around, but I'm not sorry that I'm preaching. Amen. Let me introduce to you Peter and his preaching in 1 Peter chapter 4. And let me read it to you. If you don't want to turn, that's fine. Chapter 4. Let me start right here and give you what it says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. God's going to look at what we're sowing first. For He did not give us bad seed. We have the gospel.
Yes.
We have the truth.
Yes.
This seed ought to produce us like kind. But even in this church, as much as you've heard holiness, as much as you've been instructed in holiness, there is still times when I look at you and I wonder, where have you been? Where did that seed come from? Amen. I told you ladies that I believe that the length of the dress ought to be below the knee. At least 3 to 4 inches below the knee. And I've seen some of our older ladies come in this church with splits that come up to their very knee. How can it be below and be there? How can that be below when it's right there? How can that be below? I want to know that. Now tell me. I can measure some. I know the width of my hand's about 3 inches. So it ought to be 3 inches below where my knee bends. And yet I've watched, since I've took the bashing that I took over these splits, I've watched some of you that you don't give a care what kind of seed you sow. How can I get my young people to pay attention when my older ones keep sowing the seed? Like a crazy farmer, we throw it out there without worrying about the crop that'll follow. Well, it's going to start with us. It's going to start right here. Judgment. He's going to check our seed bag out before he goes out there in the world, for the world ain't got no sense to start with. But we ought to have sense. We ought to believe what God said about this seed. He said, whatever you sow, that's what's going to come up. If you put a peach, amen, seed into the ground, it may take it a while, but it's going to bust that shell open and it's going to shoot up a peach stem.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't have a walnut tree around this place, but I've had for the last 2 or 3 years a walnut tree in the flower bed, at least one a year. And I can trace them. It's way down on the other end of the plat. But that little squirrel gets on that telephone line and runs all the way down the end of the plat, gets it in his mouth and brings it all the way back because his little house is up here and he looks for a soft place to bury it. Right in the old flower bed it goes. He digs it down, he hides it. Nobody knows it's there. Then all of a sudden, here it comes. Pop. And I look at it and I said, where'd you come from? Nobody planted you. But there was somebody. I just didn't see it. And it didn't come up a daisy. It didn't come up a rose bush. It didn't come up a tulip. It came up a walnut tree. And when I pulled it out, there was the evidence the walnut was still hooked to the root. And yet you think you can plant a walnut and get a rose bush? Come on! We've hoed enough gardens out that we know what you put in is what's going to come up. If you're going to have a holiness church, you're going to have to plant some holiness convictions. If you're going to have a holiness church, you're going to have to believe in holiness preaching. If you're going to have a holiness church where the Holy Ghost can do miracles, where He can heal our sick and give us genuine miracles, we're going to have to put the seed in the ground that He can honor. Don't let the devil deceive you. He'll take your life and he'll spoil it. Yes, he will. He'll spoil your life. He'll take your family and he'll ruin it. He'll take our nation and he'll blast it. The devil has no loving for anything that honors God. Don't play into his hands and be crazy. Don't do it. Come on, church, say amen.
Amen.
Don't do it. Don't play into his hands. You know what it is? God's law says it. You're going to reap what you sow. Sow discord, we're going to have a church full of it. Sow division, we're going to have a church full of it. Sow a bad attitude, we're going to have a church full of it. Amen. So what we need are people who take seriously what they are going to sow. The Lord values good seed. He wants it good. He doesn't want it mixed. Nowhere in the Bible do you ever find Him condoning sowing mixed seed. No. He wants every seed to bring forth of its own kind. If we sow it, every good effort we have of sowing good seed, He will see that it's rained on. It gets plenty of sunshine. And He'll say, we'll have it. It'll bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. If it's sown right, God guarantees us more of a harvest than we can put in our barn. Amen. If you don't think He's serious, go back with me in closing to the book of Malachi. And let's see what God says. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Listen to what He says about these little things. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Sow that seed. Watch God keep His Word.
Amen.
Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
You'll be surprised the number of people that know you don't. You'll be surprised. Yes, you would. They say, so-and-so go to your church. I said, yeah. The person said to me, I guarantee you're not getting any of their money. They know you. They know you. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, I will rebuke the devourer. I will keep it from happening. All you've got to do is do it right. Sow good seed. God will bless the crop that is sown right. He'll curse that which is wrong.
Amen.
Why don't we just quit being crazy? Why don't we just quit being crazy? Now let's get serious about reaping. I'd love to have a good revival. Wouldn't you love to have a revival where people get saved?
Yes, sir.
Let's see. He that goeth forth bearing precious seeds, weeping, right? Shall surely come again rejoicing. But you have to have good seed and you have to go with the right attitude. Depending on God. For this is precious. Can you see him coming out of some of those places like Elijah with 3.5 years without rain? And they saved a little bag full of seed. And now the earth can receive it because it's rained. And they go out with it and say, God, this is my livelihood. This is my family's food for the year. And they carry it there. They're not going to just throw it around. Amen. Amen. You see, I was a boy once myself and I planted corn. Oh, yeah. We didn't have a lot of implements to do all that fancy stuff. We'd lay it off, go right down through there, dropping it. Some of those corn rows had more corn at the end of them than they did in the whole row. Nobody's looking. Just another handful closer to going swimming. Without thinking that as soon as it rained good,
yeah.
And when we went down through a hole in this row out, somebody's going to say, what happened here? And you would be caught, for the evidence was there waiting you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now some of the suffering and the sorrow that we go through have nothing to do with us being Christians. It's because we've sowed some bad seed like a crazy farmer, thinking that we would never have to reap it. But let me tell you, God will trace it back to your hand every time. And God won't put the curse on somebody else when the curse belongs to you. I read in here and he said, I will curse your blessing. I don't want God doing that. I don't want God doing that. So why should I provoke him to do it? I don't want to be a crazy farmer. I want to make sure that I sow good seed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, you're not even trying to help me. Say amen.
Amen.
That wasn't bad preaching, even if I did do it.
Amen.
That's a load of truth. When you get home tonight, you need to go through that seed bag. And you need to get rid of anything that looks suspicious. Before you ever sow another seed, you need to go through every seed you own. Get rid of anything that looks suspicious. If you can't identify it by its life, don't plant it. If you can't see it blessing you, don't plant it. If you can't see it being a blessing to your church, don't plant it. The next time somebody comes to you saying, I want to tell you something about somebody in your church, you need to say, hold it. I don't want a crop failure. No, thank you. You keep that seed. You take it down to where it don't matter and tell them about it. Don't put that stuff in my seed bag. I don't want it. I don't want it in my head. After a while, at a weak moment, I'll tell it on somebody else and it won't be even true. Amen. They said, you can't go to that church. Brother Southern won't even let you in that church if you're wearing a red dress. Somebody lied on me again. Look at all those women out there red giggling. I didn't meet them at the door. I've never told them they couldn't do that. But that's actually said. You can't go there and do that. You won't allow it. Somebody grabbed a handful of seed. Throw it out there. But they didn't know. It didn't hurt me. It made them out. A liar. Your crop will testify of your character. Let's stand.